Man, I feel that anointing today, that breaker anointing. Every service I come, I'm believing that people will press through and break through. That's what this year is about, breakthrough. Say supernatural breakthrough. There's a time in your life that you can press and press, and in your own doing, you can break through some things. But this year is 2010. The number 10 in the Bible means full circle or cycle, the end of a cycle. So we know that breakthrough is the beginning of a new day, an end of a cycle. So this year is the year of supernatural breakthrough. This is a year that we are able, with the help of God, to move past some obstacles and circumstances that have held us into captivity. Supernaturally. That means God empowers you to do that. Times past, I said you broke through. You just pressed on. You just worked at it. And we had a year where we said, work that thing. Ephesians 3:20 was what the Lord was telling us. We got to work that thing. And we put forth the effort to work that thing. And God showed up. But this year is a year where God is working with you. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Who, me? Yes. Supernatural means super and natural. See, we just don't understand that. We think supernatural is all God. No, it's super and natural. It's God working with natural things. And when the super and natural get together, it's supernatural. Some people wonder why people fall out in the spirit. It's when the super and the natural collide, something's going to go down, and it's not the Holy Spirit. It's already came down. You're going down. Say, you're going down. So this is the year for that. This is the year to break through. Say, break through. Every moment, every hour is a breakthrough hour in your life. See, we are to break through the impossible to the impossibilities of God. When you get to the end of this year, I want you to be able to look back and see where God has brought you through and out. Say through and out.
Through and out.
See, most of the emotional songs that we sing are songs that keep us in the circumstance. Amen. Most of us can relate to those songs that keep us in the circumstance. That's what good old country is. My wife is running around on me. You know? All that stuff in the circumstances, but the gospel is the good news that God will bring you through and out of your circumstance. And we don't know sometimes how to relate to the other side. Israel could not relate to the other side. They couldn't see it. They couldn't purchase it as their own because it was always about works. It was always about making bread, looking back at Egypt. And a lot of times, and I'm preaching my sermon ahead of time, a lot of times we're like that. But I'm telling you, this is breakthrough year to go through and out.
Through.
Say through and out.
Through.
Turn and tell somebody, I'm coming out of this thing. You better bet your bottom dollar on it. Hey, what you see now, you will not see later.
No,
say that.
Now,
all right.
Hallelujah.
Say good stuff. Mark, did I say Matthew? Matthew chapter 28, let's read verses 18 through verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want us to look back at verse 18, the last part of verse 18, the first part of verse 19, and the last part of verse 20. Last part of verse 18, first part of verse 19, and the last part of verse 20. Now, we're not taking anything out, but this is, if you get those three things that Jesus said, he's really telling you the essence of these verses. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This morning I want to talk on the subject, the power to move forward. The power to move forward. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. The word power in the Greek means to force, a force or capacity. It means freedom, mastery, and it means superhuman. Yes. Jesus is saying, I am giving you superhuman power to go forward. Shout with me, forward. Because He's with us every step of the way. Amen. Now here's what I want you to understand about what Jesus said. Jesus never said anything that was a joke. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus didn't spend 3.5 years down here just shooting the bull, so to speak. Every word that Jesus said was said for a purpose. I believe in all that these and thous and those that Jesus said were there because they were meant to be there. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When Jesus spoke the words, go ye therefore into the earth, at that moment, there was a releasement of enablement. Because Jesus really commanded us. He said, go ye therefore. When Jesus said those words, there is power connected to those words. There is authority. There is human enablement. Superhuman enablement. For us to move forward because Jesus said, go ye therefore. Now you hear me say this often. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Well, all means all, A-double-L, nothing else left. Correct? Our English language says to us that all means everything. So Jesus said, all the power, every bit of the power, every bit of the power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so I often say this, if Jesus was given all the power, then where does the devil get his? So you're the one that gives the devil power. And I don't think people really get to understand this, that in our covenant, in the covenant that's purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, in our covenant, there is no devil. He's been taken care of. Colossians tells us that Jesus had spoiled the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Spoiled means He stripped them of their goods. And so, Jesus said, all power, none left. The devil has no power over us, only what you give him by agreeing to what he says. All power is given unto me, and I'm telling you, that power that's given unto me, I'm releasing it in these words, go ye therefore. Pam, that's good news, because a lot of people are waiting at Rhema. Graduated from Rhema, thousands of people, and you go out there and say, what y'all still doing here? They'll tell you, I'm waiting on God to tell me to go. And right here, the Lord said, go ye therefore unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I say. And lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the world. In this season that we're in, the breakthrough, there has been a releasement of supernatural advancement. So you got to grab these things, because in the move of God, we don't have time to linger and convince you. If you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, you will be filled. If you slumber and sleep and wait a little long, you'll just be still and won't be filled. But if you want to be filled, you grab these things. Whoop, that's mine. So there is a releasement in these days, in this season that we're living in of supernatural breakthrough. There is a divine releasement, enablement of God for us to move forward. Advancement. Say advancement. Glory to God. That's important, because the first step of any breakthrough is the first step. The first step to any breakthrough is taking the first step. And when you've lost so many battles, and you have probably been out of the will of God for so long, and you have been beat up and by the devil, your devil, or by whatever, the church, or somebody just didn't treat you right, then the first step sometimes is the hardest step to ever take. But breakthrough, all your good stuff on the other end, comes by the first step. If you don't take the first step, you'll never see what's available on the other side of your breakthrough. I told the men the other day, because we are promises to God. We EOEs of God. We let our mind just fly when we just need to be silent. Because when God starts moving, we start promising. When we feel God, we start promising a lot of stuff that we can never carry through, because all we heard was, you know, something that just made us a little chill bumps get on us, and we start wagging our mouths, yeah, I got it, I'm going. But I want to talk to you today about the power that's in waiting. If you're stuck in the mud, there's power in it. If you've been knocked down and can't get up, there's still power in that. Amen. I'm here to tell you, we're in a season of enablement. A season that if you'll take the first step, I guarantee you, you'll be able to take the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, because Paul said this, in Him I live and move and have my being. See, it all rests in Him. Your breakthrough is not determined by your strength. Get a hold of this. You're not going to sing your way and tiptoe through the tulips. You're going to have to rely on that supernatural power, because if you could have broke through, you would already broke through by now. Am I talking to anybody here that's stuck in the mud, so to speak? Help me, I'm falling, I can't get up. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. One of my daddy's favorite verses in the Bible, but now I have a revelation of what it really means. We make the church very uncomfortable for people who have fallen and can't get up, especially faith churches. Especially faith churches. We seem to make people very uncomfortable when they're not moving along as we are. You understand? Some of us faith people forget our journey, how long it took for us to get here. And of course, sometimes zeal, and sometimes, you know, this plumb zeal wants to get people up and out of their situations overnight. And we want to drag them, and we want to pull them, and we want to get them up, and we want to get them to the other end when it ain't time yet. Amen. Say that with me. It ain't time yet. Amen. Timing is everything with God. In the fullness of time, for such a time as this. And once you get at peace with where you at, I'm not saying accepting your defeat. I'm saying peace that passes all understanding. Once you get peace about what's going on in your life, then out of that peace comes the ability to see God. The Bible says, without peace, no man or holiness or peace can see God. Holiness and peace are in direct connection. You live in holy in agreement with God, then you have the peace that passeth all understanding. So I want to deal with the power of waiting. What's been going on in your life all these years? Some of you have been held captive to something that you've shouted about, prayed about, worshipped about, ran from church to church about, have bored people to death about. What is it all about? And I think you can get some revelation of the power that's even in that circumstance. Hallelujah. I don't know how far I'm going to get this because I'm telling you, I can see some things. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. Have an ear to hear. I'm going to knock over some sacred cattle in our lives. Okay? He. Am I right?
Yes.
Say, that's right, preacher.
That's right.
He, God, giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. I want you to notice now, in this context, who God is speaking to. He's talking about giving power to the faint. He is not talking about giving power to the faithful. He's talking to people that haven't been spiritual giants. People who have not overcome, who have found themselves fainted. How many of you know when somebody faints, they can't do anything? Anybody ever fainted before? I'm 61 years old, and even when I got burnt and all those 3 days and three nights, I never passed out. My eyes were open, screaming and hollering. I'm not a good one to faint, but I've seen people faint and they go limp and they can't move and they can't respond. And you can holler, get up all you want, and they ain't going nowhere because they're fainted. Say fainted. So notice, God's not talking to the faithful, those who have the ability to press through, but He's talking to those who have fallen by the wayside. As the commercial says, fallen and can't get up. That's a wonderful thing to know, that God talks to people who have fallen and can't get up. Because see, faith people think God only talks to spiritual giants. And I'm a faith person. This is called Abundant Life Faith Church. But see, we're in this all together. My journey is with you. And your journey is with me. I'm not an excuser of the brethren, but I'm a word preacher. And a lot of times when we're fainting people, they got excuses why they are. But listen, God does not disqualify you when your circumstances have lingered longer than they're supposed to. Amen. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The Message Bible says, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, say wait. But they that wait, I'm talking about the power in waiting. And here you need to understand, this is not a choice. My daddy used this as a choice, as a person who would faithfully wait for God to move. But notice, this is not what the Scripture's talking. He's not talking about spiritual giants. He is not talking about people who've made a choice to wait for God to move. He's talking to people who've lost their strength and they can't move because they have no strength. They have fainted. All spiritual Things have dissipated. They are on the floor out. Those who have weight are those who have fainted and stumbled and can't get up. Those who are waiting on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Notice here too, in the renewing of their strength, it's not a God thing. It says, and they shall renew their strength. See, this is not a supernatural bailout scripture. This is not a scripture that faithful people can glorify in, because it's not talking about faithful people. You're already out and up. It's talking to people who are lingering in their circumstance and hadn't been able to move forward because of their circumstances beyond their control. And singing ain't got them out. Praising ain't got them out. Preaching ain't got them out. Praying ain't got them out. They're still in the pit. But see, here's where the promise, when Jesus said, go ye therefore, is in the earth. That there is supernatural power available while you are in the waiting, or in the fainting, or in the part that you can't help yourself. There's the helper is with you. God help us. If we could understand mercy and grace, it would unite the church to such a revival of blessings and pouring out their heart for such a good God. It would just gyro us into the next destiny of God. We don't even understand the mercy that God has, even in the midst of our circumstances. He said He would never leave us and never forsake us. We may feel it all alone, but we're not. Hallelujah. If you've ever been stuck in the mud, so to speak, bogged down with the circumstances, can't put on your funny face, or your false face. You can't really say from your spirit, when somebody says, how's things going? Oh, it's all good. But when you leave, your face just goes down and say, actually, it's all hell. God's speaking to you through this. That in that hell, in that darkness, in that pit of faint, right around you, surrounding you, all over you, just one belief away, there is a releasement of power in that, so you can come out of that thing like in a twinkling of an eye. Yeah, that's where people are today. Especially people that are really, 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 really in that mode, is they can't get out. There are a lot of people in this church, with all the preaching that's been done and with all the praise and worship that goes on in this house, with all the love that's poured out, with all the good things here, there are still people sitting here that have fallen and can't get up. And God is speaking this year. Yet year, next year, I don't want to even go there, but you need to understand this year, because next year, those who have taken to heart this year and have broken through by faith, your 2011 will be the year of great opportunities for your life. And I'm telling you, God's going to linger around in this season, especially for you. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. It's about, anyway, it's about the strength of God. It's always been about the strength of God. You'd be surprised, people up here shouting, how much strength they really have in themselves. You spend a few times with them, a few days with them, when God ain't on them, you'll find out they're just pussycats. They ain't got no ammunition in themselves. They can't have to drag themselves out of bed every day. But when they're under the anointing of God, when they're flowing in the will and purposes of the Almighty God, man, they're like bulldozers. Everybody in here, if we try to operate under our own strength, we fall short of being able to advance forward. But it's all in Him. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me. In those words, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. The releasement is in those words. When you really hear it, get up and go. The spirit of advancement is in the house. In your house. In the words that you speak. I am convinced. When Jesus was walking by, there was only one blind Bartimaeus that the Bible mentions that cried out. If you had been there and you had been blind, if you had cried out, your story would have been in there too. It would have said, blind Bartimaeus, blind Paul, blind Jeff, blind Mike, cried out. And the Lord healed them of their vision. I am well assured the reason people don't get their deliverance is they do not cry out to God. When they hear the word, just get up and say, that's me, Lord. I need that. It's mine. I have it now. But see, we're prone for somebody to preach to us and have an off the call and do all those things and have an army down here line you up and pop you in the head and lay out on the floor. And we preach all this stuff. The anointing comes. By the time we get all that done, moving them around, getting them out of the anointing, and I get upset, they get upset, ain't no power down there. If you want it, when the word goes forth, you grab it, you eat it. You jump up and say, it's mine, I have it now. And walk in it, and you'll get it. Your altar is right where you at. You really want to know the truth? Your altar is the seat that you sit in. That's where the power is. But see, we were used to showmanship. Not all of it, but we're used to program. Like we always do it. We wait till the preacher gets through. He throws a net out. I'm a fish. I get in the net. He pulls the net in. And then he gets the fish out. And we all become little fishes, big fishes in the house of God. Good little fairy tale, ain't it? But if you're blind, you cannot see, how you going to get to the altar unless you see? Hey. I didn't get this watching TV. You know that, didn't you? There's a demand up in this house. I'm not a fool. Get up here without nothing to say. You better watch it. You'll fumble around like some kind of man that can't. You think I can't speak English? Let me get up here now and try to talk. All you preachers are preaching. You better have something to say. Hallelujah. Give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, listen to me. This is revelations are revelations. And you never heard this said before. Most people won't say this, but there is power in your failure. Not just power to keep you failing, but power to bring you out. See, we focus so much on the failure, we forget about the power to overcome it. And we hammer you about your failure, but we don't hammer you about coming out of it. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In every one of us, there is somewhat failure. We are being saved every day. We're born again, but salvation is progressive. We're working on something every day. Punch somebody and say, I'm working on it. Tell them, give me a break. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Those that wait, those that have fainted with no strength, no ability to get up, those that await upon the Lord shall Be renewed with strength. Let me read Isaiah chapter 40 from the Amplified. He gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those he talked about, verse 29 and verse 30, who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Glory to God. That's available in your waiting. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. While you turn, let me just give you a definition of the word wait. The dictionary defines the word wait to mean to stay, remain, to linger, to hang around, and so forth. But in the Greek, the Word of God that we, Hebrew and Greek, Old Testament, Hebrew, Greek, in the New Testament, the word wait means to linger in expectation. To linger in expectation. Expectation has to do with your hope. The Bible says hope deferred maketh the man sick. See, even in your dark circumstances, you got to hold on to your hope. That something can get better. It can get better. Say that with me. It can get better. Yes, it can get better. Luke 24, verse 44 through verse 49. And he is Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus is it written, and thus is behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. Verse 49. And behold, take notice, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. But wait. The word tarry means to wait. But wait, ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. See, there's power in your waiting. Whether it be you're waiting because your circumstances won't change, and God don't disqualify you for that. Can you understand when I say, do you understand what I mean when I say disqualifying yourself? Oh, yeah. That's a revelation. That's an important revelation to people that have disqualified themselves because failure after failure after failure after failure after mess up after mess up. Soon they disqualify themselves and they move away from the help of God. But see, God never disqualifies a single soul. He is the good shepherd. He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. He's the good shepherd. Say good shepherd. He's not the average preacher or the average apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. His Holy Spirit always thrives with men. You can't listen. If God's Spirit gets a hold of you, you cannot get away from it. I don't know. It's just the way we are. Some of us are hard-headed. Some of us is just mean. Others of us think we're bigger than God. But I'm telling you, when God wants you, He will get you. God will dial your number just like He dialed mine. July the 4th at 3 o'clock, 1981, on that pavement burning up with a gasoline fire. I'm not saying God did that, but God knew what would reach me, and He allowed that to happen. And I'm telling you, He dialed my number, and guess what? He got me. He got me. God's able to reach down in that circumstance. Listen, this is good news. Don't frown up. It's good news. Maybe I'm frowning. I'm trying to preach. I mean, it's so thick in my spirit. It's so powerful in there. I'm believing it too as I preach it. You know, I look at people different today. I'm after this study, I look at people in a whole different way when I look at downtrodden people who are stumbling along the way. I'm really looking at their life and I'm saying it's just a matter of time. It's just give them a little slack. It's a matter of time and they're waiting that power is going to reach them. Because God's not willing that any man should ever perish. But all, say all, come to the knowledge of truth. I know sometimes we look at people and say, you're a hopeless case, but not in the sight of God. Your family's not a hopeless case. I was a hopeless case, but I ain't no more. See, I know what it is to sit in a church with the power of God and still be lost. And nothing reached me. No good sermon, no good music, no tongues, no falling out. Nothing would have ever reached me but a righteous, loving God who dialed my number in my waiting. In my circumstances that held me captive. All of my life for 31 years. His power got me anyway. And I'm here to tell you, He's going to get you anyway. You might as well yield to it. You might as well say, yes, Lord. You might as well cry out and say, Uncle. He's going to get you. He's going to get them kids. He's going to get them children. He's going to get them that fallen by the way if you agree with Him that He said there's power in their waiting. Yeah. Don't look at them as defeated and old dead beasts. They'll never make nothing. They're rotten. They'll be there of the devil. They're going to hell just as sure as I am. Quit saying that and look at them and say there's power in your waiting. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes. And agree with God and God will reach down wherever they're at. Yes. Yes. Like He did me and Jeff and change you.
Yes.
From darkness into light.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? From a, I don't know about you. I used to know, but some people I call ex-alcoholics, or who wouldn't? But anyway, the Lord had to reach down and get a hold of you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
No person, I don't believe anybody in here was any worse perverted than me. But there was power in my waiting.
Yes, Lord.
See, there were times in my life that I reached out. Yeah. I was moved.
Yeah.
Many times I had to wore my britches out going to the altar. I mean, I wasn't that type of person. I mean, when God was moving, I wanted help, but it didn't last more than a day. But when that power came on me...
Yes, Lord.
There wasn't no turning back.
Yes. Yes.
All it was going advancing forward. That's the power of breakthrough.
Yes.
Hey! Jesus said, those that wait upon the Lord shall be endued with power from on high. So if you've been stuck in the mud, there is power from on high. For you.
Yes,
see, life is like driving a car. When you're driving a car, there's a big windshield in front of you. Right? You know about it. You can see the left. You can see the right. You can see down the road. You can see in front of you. You can see all the beautiful things. But right in the middle of that beautiful windshield, there's a little odd-looking shape mirror that's called what? Rear view mirror. Now, that's there for a purpose. Amen?
Yeah.
That rear view mirror is to let you see where you gone by. Just a glance at it. It's there to tell you if somebody's on your tail or not, right? So you can just speed up. It's there for you sometimes to go back just a short period of time. But we've made that rear view mirror in our lives bigger than the windshield. And some of us glaze too long in the rear view mirror. If you do that too long in a car, what happened to you? You'll have a wreck. And see, that's what happened to many of us. We've looked in the mirror, rear view mirror, so long, we find ourselves now in a wreck. We quit looking at what's in advance. We quit looking at what's up ahead, and bam, we hit something, and now we keep looking and we try to go forward, but we stuck with that rear view mirror. Today I want the Lord to deliver some of us from the rear view mirror syndrome. Even good things. I mean, we can't look back and say God was so good to me in 2009. Oh, what a wonderful God with. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God He was. What a wonderful God. Boom. I have a shipwreck. I hit something. I don't see anything forward. And so we get bogged down. We misuse the rear view mirror. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
But hallelujah, do we get anointed and appointed and we get delivered and then we begin to look forward, going forward again. And here's where we fall in the next trap. We want to live life in the highway experience. Do you know what I mean? We want to live the fast lane in life. We don't want no red lights. It's all right, you can smile, everybody. We don't want no red lights. We don't want no stop signs. We're ready now. Say, I'm ready now. I'm delivered. I'm looking forward now. You ain't even really got over your mess up. But I'm ready. I'm going to bring down through life. I'm ready to cast out devil. Oh, God is great. His mercy endureth forever. And we just ready to roll. And you know, we don't like them stop signs. We don't like them red lights. God, are you sure I got to stop here? How many of you ever started a journey and hit all the red lights? You don't like that, right? My wife said the other day, we got all the red lights. They're there for a purpose, honey. So you won't wreck. So you'll stop for a moment. Or you'll yield for a moment. And we don't like that. We want full steam ahead all the time. And when we have to wait, listen, when we have to wait, we begin already to grumble, complain, talk about God must not be moving. God is not the God that we shout about. Why don't He deliver me out of this mess? And all of a sudden, you're stuck in the mud and you forgot about the power of God. And you therefore, you disqualify yourself. Actually, when God's trying to protect your life. See, there's a balance in life. We move forward and then we stop. And we collect and we look and we look forward. And we decide how we're going to go down the next avenue. We stop and rest for a moment. You know what I mean? We don't get foolish and just drive on through all these intersections and we're serving God and we're shouting and we're speaking in tongues. Come time I touch into my knee. We're talking about all this stuff and all of a sudden we ain't really been planning. We ain't really been praising. We ain't really been praying. And all of a sudden, bam, we hit another wreck. Listen, it's all right to stop at the stop sign. Can I tell you something, faith churches? It's all right once in a while for the faith church to be silent for a little bit. when nothing seems to be going on, it might be a time God wants to talk. And God has a problem when people running all over the place when He's trying to talk. I'm telling you, you don't have to, when God is moving, you don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to be a cheerleader. Watch out, all you worship leaders. Watch out, all you preachers. Don't become cheerleaders. It won't fly. It will take from your physical life, every one of you. It will take from you. If you're trying to prop up something, it will wind up being dead. God sometimes takes you to a stop sign. And He lets you wait until you be endued with power. Until you say, it's time to move. I agree with you, Lord. I've been here too long. Say that with me. I've been here too long. See, waiting is part of life. There are times that we wait with purpose. Just like we wait at red lights, stop signs. They keep us from having wrecks. In real life, sometimes it's in our waiting or our times that we're stuck in the mud. Nothing happened. We have fallen and can't get up. It may be the time of safety for you. For instance, it took me 27 years to operate in prosperity. For 27 years of my life, preaching prosperity and faith, I couldn't even pay my light bill for 27 years. I can't tell you how many times my lights have been cut off standing in the pulpit in the old building, in this building, when I went home. After preaching, God will supply my need. I can't tell you the clunkers and the cars we drove, shouted about others receiving when our windows would not roll down and we had no air condition. 27 long years. Waiting for prosperity. Lost my home to foreclosure. Wound up with no automobile. Had to get one for my daughter to drive. Wore shoes and my holes in my shoes till a preacher saw me one day and gave me 20-something pair. But I was waiting. But God had me waiting. You know why He had me waiting? Because I would have spent all my money on foolishness. I had to learn to wait for my prosperity. To learn what wealth is really about. Because you see, if I got my I thought prosperity was a feeling. Yeah, I was taught that. If you dress nice and have a Rolex and got your fancy shoes and drive a BMW or whatever, you had it going on and you felt good. It does have a tendency. Wealth has a tendency to make you feel better. Hogwash. Wealth without God will not make you better. It will make you foolish. And what you thought you wanted to help turn out to be foolish. See, I had to wait. I had to wait. It wasn't easy to wait. Cried many tears. We get on our knees and we almost lost this church. The only thing we didn't lose was the church. Thank you, Lord. But in my waiting, I was endued with power. And I can tell you right now, I don't have to work at it no more. It just comes my way. I can't tell you the times we said, money cometh, cling, cling. We would say, we would command money to come, and man, I'd get about a dollar or two somewhere. I'd say, hallelujah on that. I can't tell you the times we stood and we demanded money, commanded money, and money cometh, the book that we read, and we'd stand there and say, money cometh to me, ching, ching. We would do that hundreds of times. But we was in our waiting, but hallelujah, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall faint and not faint. Waiting's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's for your benefit. Because at one time I felt so bad about About, you know, I learned this. One preach friend of mine, Dr. Rath, said one time to me, I think Francis said that you can't cry enough to make somebody else happy. Is that what they said? You can't feel bad enough to make somebody else feel good. You understand what I'm talking about? We don't have to play Jesus, the only one Jesus. Amen. But sometimes in our nature, we want to stay, you know, I want to give my money away, make them feel better, and all of a sudden I beat and gave all my money away. They feeling good, and I don't feel so good. None of y'all operate like that, but you can't give me no money. I give it away. But now, I understand what money is. I give it away to make me feel better. You understand? It made me feel better. It made me feel like something better was about me. But that's not prosperity. The Lord gives you because the blessings on you. It's in Him I live and have my being. This Rolex shouldn't make me feel any better. What I drive don't make me feel any better. What I wear and these ostrich shoes don't make me feel better. I'm better because the prosperity of the Lord's upon me. Took me 27 years waiting on the Lord. But thanks be to God, in my waiting there was power. And I can tell you today, we stand here, me and Penny stand here, and I'm not sad about it, and I'm not ashamed about it. We have a house paid for. We have all our cars paid for. We have a church built, paid for. We didn't run and hide. We didn't quit preaching faith because the wait was so long. We didn't bail out and give up and cave in and run down the road and get me six packs of glitz. Budweiser. And run off and go to Florida. And forget about what God said. We stood in that circumstance. We were down, but we wasn't out. Hallelujah. We was low, but we wasn't that low. That the power of God came on us, and we're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And now we can bless people when we want to bless them. Hallelujah. And we make sure my son has a good wedding. Regardless who pays for it, we're paying for it, and it'll be good. Only blessed people can do that. So let's stand. In your waiting, there's power. Don't get bogged down. Don't let the church make you feel bad. Just grab a hold of that waiting power.